Jason Waller here with the Unleashed Podcast. That's right. We are going to be running a replay of my episode with Aiden Hutchinson last year, talking about the Lions, the draft. Now that the Lions won their first game in 32 years, we're going to rerun that episode for you. Enjoy. Go Lions!
Make sure you subscribe on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, YouTube, you name it. It is there. And I've got a special treat for you guys today. Super excited about this cat that's on the show. Not only am I a big fan because he plays for my favorite team and played for my favorite college team, but this cat really exuberates underdog story and he's living his dream. None other than the top draft pick, Aiden Hutchinson. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great, man. That was a great intro right there. Appreciate like that.
It's good energy, right? I know.
Oh, listen, yeah.
I've seen you play. I got to take my son to that Ohio State game. And we were in the, I don't know if you noticed, we were in the locker room. We were doing the whole thing with a couple of the folks here. We got to run out and touch the banner, which was an honor, with the team. And so I remember he was like, Dad, that's the really good one, that, right? The 97. I said, yeah. I think you ended up with like 4 sacks that game or something.
Yep, I had the 3 sacks. Yep, and that was a little Heisman moment right there.
That was it right there, baby. Good stuff. So let's talk about, you know, for the folks listening, you know, Mr. Aiden Hutchinson here, your father played for Michigan Wolverines. We've all seen the story on ESPN, which is a remarkable story. They did a great job covering that, putting that out there and telling your story. But, you know, you looked up to your dad so many times and what he did on the football field and what he did as a man. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, growing up, like it really just heard stories about him, you know, just obviously doing the whole football thing at Michigan and being an All-American, being a captain. And then, you know, obviously he's going on and he's a ER doctor now. So it's a pretty, pretty good career fields right there and very respectable in that way. And growing up, you know, having a dad like that who's so accomplished like that and so successful, you know, only, you know, drove me to try to do the same and you know, just try to do the best that I can to you know, follow in his footsteps. And, you know, we ended up liking the same thing. I ended up loving football. So, you know, I got the opportunity to follow that path. And, you know, it's, I mean, at this point, the rest is a little bit of history. You know, obviously, we have a lot of, you know, synchronicities at Michigan, both wearing 97, both, you know, with the Big Ten championship, with the captain, the All-American. There's a lot of synchronicities. And I think growing up with a dad like that only motivated me to do what I did.
Well, as a father and a grandfather now, even though I'm a young grandfather, I got 2 grandkids. Nice. I can tell you there's nothing better than seeing your son accomplish what they want to accomplish, right? And there's a motto, and you'll see when you have kids, you always want your kids to be better than you. In most cases, good dads. And I've seen your dad. We I got to chat with him a few times, but I've seen how much he cares about you beating him, how much that, you know, you have accelerated your game and to do things even bigger than what he has done. And as a father, I know he's super proud, right? That's what the ultimate goal is. It's like if my son can do things better in life than I did, then I did a good job raising. That's the whole key. What I want to talk about is this year's been good for the Hutchinson family. Like you know, you're in there for the Heisman, you're number 2 pick, going to the hometown team. Your sister won Miss Michigan, correct?
Miss Michigan, Michigan. Not the team. My bad. She won the big one. Come on now.
Hey, I didn't know. So, but that's a big deal. She won the big one.
Yeah, I mean it's been a wild year and something that not many people probably predicted, you know, for the Hutchinson family. Even looking back at 2020, kind of at my lowest point, and you know, now being here and you know, obviously being drafted number 2 overall and being in the position that I'm in, not many people would have predicted that. And I kind of had this very meteoric rise my senior year, so. Man, it's just something that, you know, I've been seeing for myself for a very long time, and it's finally, you know, came to fruition, this year. So, I mean, that came to a lot of mental work, physical work, sacrifices. I mean, you name it, I did it. And to get to this point was no easy task for sure.
I don't want to sound cliche, but does hard work beat talent?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Hard work beats talent. I mean, right? Especially, you know, you see at the college level and the NFL level. I mean, there are so many talented dudes out there, and really, I think the separator is obviously, you know, you said it. It's the hard work. It's the sacrifice. It's what you do outside. You know, you could be the most talented dude in the world and you could still be a good football player. But, you know, if you're not making those sacrifices necessary outside of the game while you're in the game, I mean, everything, I don't think you'll ever reach your true potential. And, you know, that's no matter how talented you are or, you know, how many gifts you've been blessed with. I think I've always had the mentality of giving it all I got because I want to use every gift to the best of my ability and really just get everything I can out of my body until I'm done playing the game.
You know, you talked about 2020 being a tough year for you. And, you know, I follow Michigan religiously, but never really the players. I'll be honest. Like, I'm guilty as charged, right? Because players come, players go, they get drafted. And even on your 2020 season, like, if you asked me, I was like, I think I know that the Hutchinson kid is. Yeah. It's dad played. But coming into this year, the expectations because of your injury, I want you to talk about that. The expectations for you were really high, but the expectations for the world and what they basically told you were low, correct?
You're saying going into my senior year?
Yeah. Yeah, after your injury and after into your senior year.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people forgot about me a little bit. You know, it's what happens when, you know, you're out the game a little bit. I broke my ankle that third game and, you know, people forget about your name. And, you know, obviously with my mindset, you said it. I mean, I set my standards as high as I can. And obviously I expected myself to be in this position. And, you know, if I wasn't in the position that I am today, I would have been a little disappointed, to be quite honest with you. Because I always saw myself as, you know, a top draft pick, a top guy, in college, but, it was just a matter of, you know, things falling the right way, making the sacrifices, and really, definitely fortunate, you know, to have the coaches that came in my senior year, had the new 3-4 defense where I was standing up and they really let me go. So, you know, I can't say it was all just me working hard and stuff. Cause you know, my junior year, I was working my ass off, you know, I was working my ass off for months during that COVID season. And sometimes, you know, life is just a little bit unfair, you know, that you get a tough break. But I think it's all about, you know, it's just staying consistent through the ebbs and flows. And it's like, you know, you could be working your ass off and not getting the result that you want. But I think if you keep staying consistent through the ups and downs, you know, you'll eventually, you know, reach the point that you're seeking if you're doing things the right way.
Yeah, and I love what we talked about. We started with hard work beats talent because you're right. You know, first of all, there's a small percentage of high school players that make it to college. There's an even smaller percentage that make it pro, and every one of them are super talented. They wouldn't be there. But the difference is that extra rep, that extra push, that extra time in the gym, that extra time of what you're going to eat and paying attention to your diet, that extra watching film, all those little 1% every day and over a year is 365% better. I think that's the real difference of like yourself. And I'm not comparing you to Tom Brady, but he's another Michigan cat. But he didn't have all the talent. You know, he was average at talent at best. But he had all the work ethic and he believed it. He set those standards. You said that. And a lot of young people out there, a lot of young cats, they quit too early. They walk up to the stairs, Aiden, and they look and they see, man, that 100th floor is too high. I can't make it. And they quit. And you, my man, I think you looked at, all right, I want to get there, but I'm going to focus on getting to level two, then That's level right. three, then level four. And it's always take the stairs. I talk about it in my book. Like you can't, there's no elevator in life. You have to put in the work in the stairs and you have to stumble a little bit because it humbles you and it makes you want it more and it makes you appreciate it more. And I want to bring this up. A couple of the players that I know on the team, I mentioned to you a little bit before we started, they were like, this dude works like he fucking cares, right? Like, you know, like Justin Pugh's a friend of mine and you know, he plays for the Cardinals and he was blocking Aaron Donald and I gave him shit. I'm like, dude, how did you guys lose to the Rams the last two games? Like, explain that to me. And he's like, dude, and maybe you'll appreciate this because he talks about defense. He said, in the NFL, everybody's talented. He said, you'll play a lot of defensive linemen who will go hard to play, take a playoff. Go hard to play, take a playoff. He said, the difference between Aaron Donald and everybody else isn't talent. It's that fucker goes 110% every single play. And what I thought about when he told me that was you. Like, you're the type of dude, whether it's on your side of the ball or not, you go 110% every play, because that's when you actually gain, you know, experience, wisdom, strength, is in the moments that it doesn't count, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've always been a big believer in, and you know, controlling the controllables. You know, I believe that's one aspect of things that it gives me peace of mind at the end of the day. You know, if you play a game, you know, you're not going to have your best game every single game, but you know, if you play a game, have a practice, and you know that, you know, you gave it your all, you know that, your preparation was great, everything was great leading up to it, but sometimes, you know, it's not the outcome you want, you know, you got to be able to live with that. And I'm able to live with that through controlling those controllables. And obviously that's, you know, emptying the tank every time I'm out there. And it's how I've always played the game. It's how I've always prepared for games. Off season, it's how I've always worked out, is I can't sell myself short, because I know that I'll never reach my full potential that way. And you know, my dreams and my goals for my career, you know, they're very lofty, and people would probably laugh at them, but you know, I'm very confident in myself and me achieving those and making the necessary sacrifices to get to that point.
Yeah, I think, and you said it perfectly. I mean, it's all about setting your standards and what you can live with and what you can't live with. And regret in sports, in relationships, in business. You know, I tell a story, Aiden, of my dad was a blue-collar dude, right? Never took a chance on anything, super conservative. You know, we struggled, lived in a trailer park. We had to deliver papers at night, all these things, right? Where I saw him suffer, and he had an opportunity to open a business with a friend who ended up making millions. And my dad said no, because my brother and sister had asthma. And he said, no, I got to do the right thing. So we transferred from Arizona to North Carolina, because he worked for AT&T. And I always told myself, because we would have to deliver papers at night and all this stuff, I always told myself and told my mom, told my friends, like, if I ever get the opportunity to jump on the horse, I'm doing it. I am going to bet on myself, and I'm going to play to win, not play to not lose. And yeah, a lot of people in life, including in sports, in pros everywhere, they play not to lose. They don't play to win. They're too conservative of what they do. Your style's not like that. Why?
You love to play to win.
I can see it every time. You play to win. You don't play it safe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it all starts in that confidence in yourself, and it all starts in the mental preparation and you know, what you and what you believe in, and what you believe in about yourself. And if you don't have strong convictions about yourself, about what you do, you know, you're going to crumble. And you know, I've always been one. Obviously, with a lot of the manifesting things that I've talked about, all the journaling, all that stuff, it's all kind of like self-talk for me. It's self-talk. It's reassuring my brain constantly with the repetition of saying those necessary things to put my mindset all the way to the stratosphere and really rise above, you know, all the other BS, the opinions, all of that. So I think it all starts with having that confidence in yourself and having the ability to form your own mindset without it being shaped by other people's opinions.
Yeah. Have you seen Tom Brady's Man in the Arena?
I have. I loved it.
Isn't it? So my 12-year-old son, Christian, watched it and said, Dad, can we watch that shit again? And he's cussed. And I just said, you can't cuss. He's like, but Dad, it's so exciting. Like, we watched the Jordan one. It was good. But the Tom Brady one was so real and raw.
Oh, it was real. It was so raw.
You could see how he combats, like, look, the media said this, and deflate, all these things. Like, he addresses those things head on. And I think that you being a young dude in there, you made a statement, I think, that said, look, I'm going to go in year one and be quiet, because I didn't like when freshmen came in and got loud.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, being a Lions fan and being intimate with some of the players on the team, and Chris Spielman's a good friend of mine, they have lacked for years leadership, right? Mm-hmm. They've had some talent, but they've lacked leadership in the locker room, on the defense and offensive side of the ball for a long time. Stafford is one of the best players and best human beings on the planet. Just wasn't a killer as a leader. So what's most exciting, at least for me as a fan, but I think also for the city of Detroit, getting you on there isn't just your talent and isn't just your work ethic, which both are great. It's your ability to be a leader, right? I think that is so important in football, because the difference, we talked about Tom Brady and everybody else, he's not as good as them, but when he joins a team, everybody else gives an extra 5% than they would have gave, which makes that team that much better. And I think you carry some of that in a locker room. What do you think of that? Mean, like, I'm challenging you basically to carry that load because we've lacked that. And I know I've seen you in that locker room with Michigan getting everyone excited. I've seen you do that. I feel like there's a reason why you're in Detroit. And a lot of it is the leadership that they've lacked to get it to the next level.
Yeah. You know, coming out of the draft, I knew, you know, I checked off all the boxes in the draft and, you know, that was one of them that having that leadership quality. And that's something that, obviously you got to work at a little bit, but it's always been very innate, in me. You know, it's always been something that, I've always just kind of led. And, it's not until I really started focusing on it in high school and really trying to be that best leader, but it was always, it's always just kind of been in me in terms of setting that standard and doing what I do. But, you know, I kind of said it, you know, especially being around the guys now and, you know, I think, just being around this team and with the chemistry that a lot of the guys have, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of good leaders on the team, and I think I'm going to continue to do what I do. And obviously I'm young. You know, I'm not about to be the most vocal screaming dude with, you know, a bunch of these 30-year-olds who have been in the league for a while, but, you know, I'm going to continue to do what I do and continue to lead through example and lead through setting that standard and really earn the respect of my guys this camp. And, you know, then we'll take that, you know, where it goes.
Yeah, and I think you're going to do a good job of that. I mean, like I told you, some of the guys were like, look, dude, he's a tryhard. He goes every play. And I was just surprised when Justin told me that. He said, look, defense wins all these games. And I'm like, yeah, he's like, no, really. Like, if you've got a pass rush, it's over. The whole reason the Rams won, this is what his theory was, is because people like Aaron Donald, that makes that defensive line the best because he goes every play. An offensive lineman can't take a play off, so they get exhausted. Does some of that go on in college, too?
What?
Like where guys take plays off. You've seen it where they're expecting that or they're not given 100% every play. Have you seen that in college some?
Are you talking about more with offensive linemen or defensive linemen?
I would say both.
I think it's really around in every stage of the game, to be quite honest with you. Yep. You know, in the NFL and college, it's kind of like that everywhere, depending on, you know, what kind of player you're going against. So, I never really focused too much on that. I'm always just conscientious of, you know, what I do on the field. And I really just focus on how I play the game. And, you know, if I see the O lineman taking a couple of plays off, then, you know, that I start licking my chops a little bit.
Right? That's free sex right there.
Yeah. Cause in football, you know, not everything always goes as planned. So they could be taking that play off and, you know, obviously something could happen. And then, you know, that's another stat in your book. And that's another opportunity to help your team, you know, win that game. So I think, you know, obviously when you see guys taking plays off, it's definitely on film. You're definitely like, okay, that's a good thing to see.
Yeah. And look, and I think especially if there's a blowout, right? Obviously people are like, all right, let's do this, you know, and I get it. It's like that everywhere, but it sounds like you like to play above and equal to your competition. Meaning if someone's playing down here, you want to play above that. But if they're up here, you love the challenge. You're going up there. Who are you most excited about going against as an O-lineman in the NFL? I mean, obviously you're going to get some of your teammates now, which has been some fun, right?
Right. No, I'm excited. I'm excited for this level of competition that, you know, obviously we took this next step up and, you know, I'm an extremely competitive person and extremely, you know, obviously my eyes are set on being the best. So it's like, you know, you got to go against the best and you got to prove yourself. So, man, I'm extremely excited. And I don't know if there's a specific person I have in mind, but, obviously I've been watching this game, the NFL, for a very long time, and I'm sure I'll be going up against some older dudes that I've been watching for a couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's my mentality has always been, I go against, you know, nameless, faceless opponents. You know, it doesn't matter who you stack up against me. I'm going to continue to play my game and, you know, do what I do on that field. And, not too many guys are going to change that.
What would be a successful season for your rookie season, in your opinion? What does that look like? And look, I love that you manifest things because that's important. Right. As someone who's in, you know, motivation, inspiration stuff, doing like it's important that people manifest. If they don't know what that means you're believing it and you're talking it and you're speaking it to an existence. And Aiden here keeps talking about that, like where he wants to be, how he challenges himself, how he says it, how he sets his standard high. That's the only way you get there. You don't get there by not doing that. But talk about what a successful season looks like for you. The perfect season, what's that look like?
I mean, I could come on here and start saying all the things that I want to do this season, but I like to keep that stuff a little discreet, and I like to keep that stuff to myself because, I always kind of just like working in the dark, and I got my goals in the dark, and then, you know, at the end of the year, I can take a look and see how many I got. But, you know, I know in this camp, I'm going to work my ass off, and I'm going to, you know, continue to excel on my upward trend, and wherever the season takes me, man, I'm excited. I have a lot of lofty goals this season. I have a lot of things that I want to do. So, if you think of an accolade, you probably guess that's in my journal or whatever.
I appreciate you being humble. Look, I love that about you. You're humble. I'm probably a little bit more arrogant, but that's okay. That's okay. I'd be like, look, I want to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I want to get 15 sacks, but doesn't mean I'm going to do it. But I appreciate you being humble because, look, some people like that, they come across wrong, certain folks. I get excited about people that, you know, they're ready. And I think that you're ready and you said the right stuff. Let me ask you this. The Hard Knocks, are you excited that Hard Knocks is there? Because I'm freaking excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right when I found out I was going to Detroit, I was like, damn. I'm gonna be on Hard Knocks. You know, that's something that I grew up on. Hard Knocks.
It's gonna be you and Coach Dan. Like, right. Man, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be cool for sure. I'm gonna see the behind the scenes of the Hard Knocks and, you know, how it's like having those cameras around all the time. But man, I'm excited to, you know, I don't know how it goes or anything. If you watch it, if you're on Hard Knocks, like I don't really know how that goes, but it's gonna be a lot of fun.
It will be good. I think it will bring it'll bring people who want to help build their brand and the team brand out. And I think that's important because Detroit, you know it, Detroit versus everybody, living in Michigan most of your life, doing your thing there. It's always been that mentality. And, you know, I saw on several ESPN skits where they felt Detroit Lions possibly stole the draft. They possibly could have the best defensive and offensive player drafted with their moves. I've been a Lions fan for a long time, and they don't trade a lot. They don't do moves like this a lot, right? They have a few times, the Roy Williams trade back in the day that I can remember, just nothing crazy like this. And I had a conversation with the GOAT, Barry, who's a friend of mine, and he was jacked you were on the team, and he was jacked we got Jameis Williams. I mean, he was super excited, like, this is what this team needs, is some players that are actually going to put in the work, that want to compete, that are vocal and want to make a difference and come from successful programs. And not that some of the guys we've drafted before weren't that, but this was super flashy. I mean, we really got, two top five guys. Arguably, if Jameis never got hurt, he was probably the number one receiver going. This is a big deal. How excited does it seem in camp? Because I've also read and heard people say, is it possible the Lions are the 2021 Bengals? That's what I've read.
Right. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of hype around Detroit right now, around the Detroit Lions. So I think it's good for the city. I think it's really good for the team. You know, I think having this hype after a long time, obviously we haven't done anything yet, but you know, it's good to have that energy around the team of you can kind of feel it. You kind of feel it in the air with the talent we've got in the locker room, with the guys that we got. You know, you think like, you know, you look at our offense and our defense all the way around, or like, I don't see why not, you know,
right. Why not?
We couldn't be a winning football team this year. So, I mean, I don't know. I've never bought it. I've never been one to buy into hype, but I mean, just being in that locker room and being around those guys, I mean, it feels right. And I think at this point of the season, you know, that's, if you got the energy flowing, if you got the chemistry going, that's all that you really care about, you know, because once you put the pads on, that's when we see how good we are.
Yeah, I was vacationing with Matt Prater, who's also a Lions fan. He left the Lions to go to the Cardinals and told him, hey, you know, he's like, how is that kid? Da-da-da, I'm super excited. But he told me when he was on the Broncos team, he's the only kicker, and Matt, sorry, I got to do this to you, that holds the record to never attempt a kick in the Super Bowl. No extra point, no field goal, and Seattle beat him like 55-8, right? So he's very depressed about that, but he loves the city of Detroit. He went to Arizona. He wants to retire eventually back in Detroit. And he was talking about, he had this feeling when the Broncos were going, it was in the air, right? That's what made me think of that. He was like, man, it was just this, you can just feel it, the swag, the energy, the confidence was different, right? The whole time he was in Detroit, only 1 year did he feel that. And I think that was the year we made the playoffs and then we got bounced out.
Right.
Did you feel the air your senior year at Michigan? And did that feel different than your junior year? Was it a different feeling?
Yeah, you know, I was just about to say that. I was just about to compare it. You know, I was going to say, you know, I haven't really been around too many NFL locker rooms, so obviously I don't have a big sample size to compare it with. But looking back at my senior season, you know, you look at the coaches that we had and the guys, and, you know, my junior year, I thought, you know, it definitely was good, but my senior year was different, you know, obviously because I was older. I was in a position of leadership, and we had the coaches that I really believed, you know, we're guys that were just trying to put us in the best positions to win. And, you know, and I come to the Lions and, you know, I see some of the guys in my room, you know, like, Charles Harris, you know, Michael Brockers. I mean, guys who really work. And, being around those guys, being around Coach Walsh, our position coach, Aaron Glenn, our defensive coordinator. I mean, all these guys, everything feels right now. And, you know, this is probably the second time that I'm saying it after the first time I said it was my senior season. And now, I mean, the same thing, it just feels right. And it feels like, you know, these coaches on both sides of the ball are just trying to put us in the best positions possible. And I think, you know, Coach Campbell has done a really good job of you know, getting the staff together, and obviously having this draft that has a lot of hype around it. I think, you know, from the coaching staff, I think all those guys, GMs, they've all put us players in the best possible chance to succeed and make plays on the field.
No, that's good stuff, man. I think that if you don't manifest it, you don't believe it'll never happen. So you got to feel it before it even happens. And I think that's important. And I think that I think you guys got a good squad. There were some injuries last year. There was some holes in the game. But I think it's the second year for those coaches. You've got a lot of ex-players that are coaches. And there's something to be said about that, I think, where guys have been in your shoes and have done the job. You know, I think there's more appreciation for that. I also believe, I'm a big believer, just like in my business, is players win or lose the game, but coaches help you get there. Right.
Yep.
You can't, you know, it ultimately comes down. The coach can't get out there and throw the ball, kick the ball, catch the ball, sack somebody. But the coach can put the best people in the lineup and try to pick the best plays to win. But ultimately, the players have to perform. And what I saw last year really cool about, you know, the Lions and your squad is even when they were getting blown out, they were fighting like there was no tomorrow. I've never seen that in my life from that team, like ever. And it was just awkward. Like, it was a good awkward, but it was awkward. Like, man, they were like fighting like Dan's going to lose his job tomorrow or something. Like, they really, really, really cared. And the last 6 weeks, the Lions went 3-3 and beat two playoff teams, right? I don't like to look at all year stats. I like run rates. I like something current, right? Tell me about what happened last week. Things change week to week.
Yeah.
So you guys got a little bit of momentum going. But, you know, your schedule is pretty, in my opinion, it's never soft. The NFL's tough as it is, but it's softer than it could be. Like, it's not as hardcore. You ain't got some crazy games in the West Coast. You do got a last game in Lambeau, snowing end of the year. That's going to be fun. But yeah. I've been there once. I'll never go back.
That's my helmet right there.
Oh, my gosh. That's tough. That's your helmet?
That's my element right there.
Oh, yeah. You love the snow. That's your game.
I love it.
Well, you're really going to do well in the dome. But, you know, I'm also excited about some of the other rookies you guys got. Is it Paschal from Kentucky?
Yep.
Dude, that cat, dude, he's the real deal too. I'm super excited about him getting on the team. That's another vocal leader like yourself.
Right. I mean, you can tell, I mean, you said it earlier in this podcast, how important it is to have a really dominant defensive line in this league. Because if you don't have that, I mean, you're done. And so obviously you see, the Lions, I mean, the first two rounds are taking two guys to put in that D line. So, obviously the Lions understand that, and they understand the importance, of having dominant defensive linemen. So, man, me and Josh, I mean, we're excited, man. And it's really cool being around him. He's a quiet dude, but he works and he's strong as hell. And he really, I know that's going to be, you know, my best friend just because of the time we're going to spend together. I can just tell he's a real good dude.
That's good. Have you found your place yet, Michigan? You bought your home yet?
Yep. I just got my house a couple weeks ago.
What city did you pick?
You know, we're not going to disclose that. You know,
Oh,
we're
okay.
trying to maintain a little privacy here,
Okay, got it, got it, got it.
but
Well, I
yeah, I
lived
mean,
in
I,
Birmingham for 3 years. I loved it, right? I'm a big Birmingham fan. Great little city, great restaurants, good business owners there. Loved Birmingham. You know, I didn't know much about the other spots, but you know, there or I think the Lakeside,
Like
Gulf.
Grosse Pointe.
Yeah, that area too. But both areas is where we looked when we moved up there from North Carolina. I really liked Birmingham. So the Wolverines this year, how are they going to do, you think?
Man, people have asked me. I have no idea. I mean, I hope they do really good. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of the boys, and you know, it's really hard to tell. But you know, especially with how much we lost on defense, you know, you never really know how guys are going to reload. And I know there's a lot of talented guys on that defense, but you know, a lot of guys that haven't played too much. So it'll definitely be interesting. I'll definitely be tuning in for sure to watch the boys, and I'm still talking to all of them, so probably gonna, you know, probably have a little Thursday night, invite all the boys over, and you know, get a little recovery session in at my place. So I'm still keeping in touch with them.
That's good. That's good. And they're right down the street, so you just drive
That's
up,
right.
say, how are you guys doing? What's going on? Probably go to a couple games, I would think, if they allow. Sometimes there's curfew issues, sometimes not. Well, look, one other thing, and then we'll wrap it up, Aiden. You know, your underdog story of overcoming your injury and putting the work in, I think, is important. You know, I always tie this podcast back to inspiration and motivation. I think there's listeners out there, whether they're struggling in life, whether they're struggling in a relationship, they're struggling at their job, they're struggling at their career, could be sports, could be whatever. You know, kids struggle. I think that what they can really learn from this is you have to manifest things. You have to believe in yourself. You have to put in the work. And for your story is almost like a fairy tale, your senior year. Like everything that happened, you know, happened almost the way you wrote it. And then getting drafted by the Lions, which I understand that's where you wanted to go. You were excited being home, you know, all of these things lead up, and it's because I'm a big believer in karma, and I believe what you put in, you get. And I just want the listeners from this to understand that, you know, here you've got a top guy that's humbled, that's worked his ass off, that's blue collar, his dad's blue collar, that this is kind of what you set the precedence on. I think that's what Detroit needed. I think the NFL's lucky to have you. I think the Lions are lucky to have you. We need more players like that, right? More people that are wanting to put the effort in. So I want to say I appreciate that. I know the listeners are going to enjoy this story, man. Any final words you want to say besides go Lions?
I mean, I'd probably just say to your point about you know, manifesting things, and obviously doing all the mental side of it. I think it's you're not going to be able to achieve those things that you're manifesting in your head, that you're thinking about, if you don't take the sacrifices, and you don't put the work in. Because you know, if I told you that I just write things down on a piece of paper and it comes true, it'd be an absolute lie. You know, it's something that it's an everyday battle. It's, you know, off season. It's and the workouts. It's getting everything I can out of my workouts. It's putting the right things in my body. You know, obviously, you know, staying away from alcohol. So just stuff like that in terms of making those sacrifices. So, you know, I can't just say that I write things down on a piece of paper and they come true. I think it's every day. It's, you know, 365. Of making the sacrifices, and you know, you want to get to that point, you gotta work, and you gotta you know, cut the BS out your life, and focus on your career, and you know, where you want to get to.
I think people are going to love that, man. Take the stairs. There's no elevator. Make sure you grind and you bet on yourself. Thank you, Aiden. That's a wrap. Bam!